Well, good afternoon, councillors and members of the officers. Welcome to the ordinary council meeting of Wednesday, the 11th of December 2024, held at 2 p.m. at the Oaklands Municipal Offices. The agenda's been circulated and posted, and the first item on the agenda is prayers, and Reverend Dennis Cousins will be called upon to recite those prayers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
You should say good morning, don't you? That's very good. Yes, so this is our last meeting this year with new people. Just like you to think of some people, community members that have passed away. First on my list is Mary Dudgeon, and our thoughts are with you, Karen, and with your family.
Thank you.
We had a great celebration for her yesterday, and it was lovely. And Greta Howes ago, who's been a long member of the community, also passed away, and her celebration is on Tuesday of next week. And also Carol Reeves from the Multipurpose Centre, and she passed away. So remember their families as we move on in a hard time, at Christmas time for the families, but we give thanks for their lives. Let me just proceed the our Lord's Prayer with a blessing. Let's pray. May Christmas be for you a light that shines as a star, penetrating every layer of your nights. May Christmas be a song, breaking forth with joy for dancers, despite at times much sadness. May Christmas be a celebration that offers you, in the midst of heartbreak, the tenderness of a child in a manger. We ask for blessings upon those who have lost loved ones within the community. We ask for blessings upon the new ideas and directions that the Southern Midlands Council will be taking this community. And we give thanks for the schools that we have within our councils. And as we do, and as we prepare for the time and the celebrations of Christmas, we do so as we listen to the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you, Dennis. And to Sally.
Thank you.
Item two is the acknowledgement of country, and we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land at which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to the land, water and to community. We pay respects to elders past and present. Our attendance today is all the councillors. No apologies. And the minutes of the ordinary council meeting have been circulated. Recommendation is that they be confirmed. Do I have a member there?
Yes, I can move.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bisding, Executive Councillor Campbell. Any issues with the minutes? All right, I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And special committees of council receipt of minutes, Campania Rec and Lake Culverton. Is there a move that they be received?
Yes,
Councillor Fish, and seconded Councillor Blackwell.
And I've got a comment I'd like to make.
Very good. Well, we'll put that motion, will we, and then go to the endorsements, or do you want to do it straight away?
Not fast.
Okay, well, put that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. And for the endorsement of the matters contained in those minutes, so. Move there.
I'll move.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Bisding. Now, you had a comment you wanted to make there, Councillor Campbell.
I strongly advise the Lake Dalton and Callington Park Management Committee get someone that knows and understands waterfowl, because that report that was put in there, there's a whole lot of gobbledygook. Mallards were very few and far between being kept as domestic ducks. I would guarantee that the majority of the ducks round there that have crates with blue-green heads are khaki candle, not mallard.
Very good. Well, thanks for that.
So I strongly believe that they should get someone that knows their waterfowl.
What about waterfowl?
Otherwise, it comes up again and I'm going to vote against it.
Very good.
Okay.
I'm going to put that motion that those recommendations be endorsed. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Aye. Aye. Thank you. Southern Tasmanian Council Authority AGM minutes of the 28th of November is the joint authority received minutes.
Moved.
Councillor Pearce is moving and deputy received and seconded for deputy. Any issues? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Joint authority's receipt of reports. Now that annual report's been more of the financial statement. Yes, Councillor Pearce, are you moving on?
Yep.
And a seconder?
I'll second.
Thanks for the deputy. Any issues?
Who seconded that, sir?
This is seconded by the deputy. It's moved by Councillor Pearce that that report be received. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Against? The ayes have it. No location of council workshops, there was none, I think.
No.
And councillors, questions?
We generally do just have a decision to formally acknowledge that there are no workshops.
We. I move that the information be received, there's no workshop.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell, and seconded the deputy. Are you favoured? Those against? Yeah, I have it. Very good. Councillor, question time. No questions on notice, questions without notice. Now, we'll start with you.
I just have one question for the work supervisor. The work on the pool that is demolished, how are we going? Have we started?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we have started that process. We had some asbestos removal undertaken this week by specialist contractors. So after Christmas, the plan is to basically get into the demolition.
Okay. I was asked, what happened to the sandstone wall that's sort of facing the RSL club? Looks like some of it disappeared or been damaged.
No, it was removed as part of, because that's where we're going to be taking out the majority of the structures.
Right.
Out through that, so it hasn't disappeared, it's just been relocated to a safer place.
Thank you. Thank you. That's me. Anything else?
Catherine?
Just two quick ones, Ms. Mayor, thank you. Tunbridge Bridge is nearing completion, end of January. Are we going to have an official opening?
It's not our bridge. I think it would be dangerous for us to step in and try and erect for an opening. I would strongly...
I've had that question from a Tunbridge resident.
Well, maybe it's an issue for the state government that's there, Chris, so they would have...
I don't think we need to be trying. We can certainly ask the question and inform them when it's been suggested, but I think Dave would like to probably comment here that there's still common belief that all the delays were us.
Yeah.
And it's our bridge.
Anyway.
Just a bit of clarification. Regarding the Tunbridge Bridge, I had a discussion yesterday with a resident there, and allegedly it's common knowledge throughout the community that it is the council's bridge, and B, that it was this council that caused the delays. So I clarified both of those comments, that A, it's not our bridge, it is owned by the Department of State Road.
That's right.
And B, there was a conflict between Northern Midlands Council and our planning scheme regarding the heritage component. And that particular resident went along with a wealth of knowledge, and he said that is certainly not the story that he's getting around.
No.
Hopefully the real story will get around.
Yes.
And as for the opening, he said the same thing to me, that I believe there's a plain ribbon cutting exercise, and I clarified that as well, saying that, well, maybe from the state government, but it won't be
from this one, from council, either council. Mm. Well, especially this council. Okay, thank you for that. The second one is the block in Kempton that we're looking at possible development of. The grass needs cutting badly. Is it possible to get it cut, Mr. General Manager?
Mm-hmm.
I think the sheep have long gone, have they not? Used to keep it down.
The lady used to have a little pony on it, and maybe a couple of sheep.
A resident used to run sheep there, but it's no longer.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a complaint I had. That's all I've got, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'd just like to question the Kempton Short Stay Caravan Park, whether the issues have been dealt with there.
I can ask that, Mr. Mayor, through you. Sir, we have spoken to a local resident who is a recidivist complainant to council regarding the activities of overstayers, want of a better phrase. Rachel and I spoke with that person yesterday and outlined its council's responsibility and role to manage that facility. We appreciate that person's input to assist them with our functions, but it's a matter for us, and also to outline the fact that potentially that person puts himself at risk for harm insofar as taking pictures of persons, approaching persons. So I believe the police are going to speak with this person as well, but I'm hoping that may be the end of the matter moving forward, but certainly I'm happy to advise council moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Councillor. There hasn't been any instance of violence or anything like that, has there?
Not towards this person, but no. The police were called to the campground or the RV park on Monday evening. There was a complaint against a person camping in the caravan park. The police removed this female, and I believe there's a bit of a mess yesterday to clean up, which council staff undertook yesterday afternoon. Just fires and rubbish being left on the barbecue, certainly. We do advise those that come in for a key to the space that the rules are around, you know, the maximum stay. We're not too precious as far as overstays at this time of year because it's got quite low usage, but certainly when it gets busy, we get to fill in regularly and remind those what the rules are.
Thank you very much. Councillor Fish?
No, I think nothing from me.
Councillor Campbell?
Must be my turn, isn't it?
Yes.
There's been quite a bit of discussion on the northwest coast of Tasmania in relation to tiny homes, portable homes and prefab homes, and I'm led to believe that with tiny homes, which is a good way of getting housing for those that haven't got housing, when it comes to setting them up in the southern Midlands, that the red tape may stop them from setting them up, and maybe Grant could fill us in where we're at with tiny homes.
Yep.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's a fair bit of discussion in recent years regarding tiny homes and the fact that it's a response to, I guess, providing affordable housing. The Tasmanian scheme does provide for ancillary dwellings for certain GFA, no greater than 60 square metres. And Councillor Campbell, last week the State Planning Office provided a fact sheet.
Could I just interrupt? Ancillary dwelling is one, it means an extra one, doesn't it?
Correct.
But I think you're talking about standalone.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yes,
referring to both.
Oh, okay.
Just last week, the State Planning Office produced their fact sheet, which they provided to every council statewide under the Towns Planning Scheme, which outlines within respective zones what the rules are around tiny homes. So last Friday, I asked Nick to upload that to our website, so it's a fact sheet for others to go and to access. And I'll issue a copy of it, this document here, in fact. So I'm happy to make that available to council to look at, but certainly this outlines what's achievable, where achievable, and what the restrictions may be as they relate to certain zones. But certainly, in most cases, they require a permit of some description, being either permitted or discretionary. But certainly, red tape, I wouldn't say it's red tape, we're bound by the provisions of the statewide planning scheme,
exactly,
which is a statewide document that I'm happy for.
So in some instances they're discretionary?
Correct.
In some instances?
There may even be a no permit required situation, which means they comply with all relevant development standards.
And what would be an example of a no permit required circumstance?
Where they would comply with the yard requirements, the site coverage, vehicle parking, etc. Where you go close to a yard, you might require, you'll incur a discretion, sort of become discretionary for a side yard encroachment or a height encroachment or
a... Do they have to have a toilet or sewage or that sort of thing?
The difference here is between multiple dwellings, which exceeds the 60 square metre GFA requirement, but in most cases you're relying on single servicing to the site, so there's not separate water connections, there's one connection to the site. There's a separate single sewer connection. That's the difference between a multiple dwelling, separate, versus a ancillary works relying on single service points.
So if I owned a little block somewhere out in the bush and I want to put a tiny house on it, I don't have to worry about anything, do I?
Well, that could well be in the rural zone. It could be a permit required or permit activity.
I know there are people saying in the outskirts of Tunnage area where that's happened, and I don't know whether they have permits or not, but perhaps they don't need a permit.
Well, unfortunately, within the TPS, there's also an exemption for outbuildings within the rural zones. And again, there's requirements on heights and floor space, but lots of people, unfortunately, or not lots, people are converting those for habitable purposes without a council knowledge.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor
Kennedy? I have another question which I would like in closed session in relation to chemicals.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we do the agenda for closed session.
And then I'm just curious, and a number of other people are curious, what is the position of the Manager of Community and Corporate Development, i.e. Wendy Young? What is her position require her to do for council?
And that's the general matters you can answer.
Well, I'm not sure.
I think that's in committee.
Well, it's a job description, is that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's a position description relevant to the
and
position.
And that would be in committee.
As the title suggests, it's a range of issues. It's community development, it's internal governance, it's risk management, it's insurance, it's
If you were to gear it onto the Woodsdale lot, where would it fit in?
Does
it or not? So the Woodsdale lot, that's in the football club and the rec ground.
In terms of we took...
What would she have to do with that?
Probably, if we wanted to be appropriate, what we should have done is gone in and demolished it many, many months ago and prevented any use whatsoever.
Mm.
It's purely the way that we've gone about it.
I think
trying to manage it.
I think Councillor Campbell's question is, in relation to the interface of that officer, what authority does that officer have to speak to those organisations in terms of the job description? I think that's really what it's asking.
So I'll try.
That's more to the point.
Well, she'd be in a position to provide advice around insurance issues, risk issues, all of that type of stuff. I would think. Can you be a little bit more specific?
In relation to the interface with those people, I think he's talking about, with the actual...
That committee?
The committee, yes. That, is that part of her role to do that? That's basically
what you're saying. Yes, that's yes, yes. So, talking about the newly established committee that we don't know a lot about?
Well, I'm going right back 3 years. Over that period of time.
No, to be a little bit more specific, but yes, certainly Wendy would be in a position to provide advice to the committee if requested.
And if for some reason or another the Woodsdale lot fall over, you put the rec ground up for sale and you can't sell it, what happens to the rec ground then?
If it's not sold?
Yeah, if you can't. It's not sold then you can't sell it. Nobody wants to buy it and sell it.
I'd suggest that somebody would be out there that would be willing to buy the property or take ownership of the property. That's at what value?
But if that didn't happen, what happens?
I don't think that's a realistic situation, to be honest, but other than that, council would retain ownership until such time as there was a market for it.
Hmm. Sure.
We'll move on then. That'll do me.
That's it.
I think I'd probably just wait till the supplementary item comes in. Are we still discussing that, Tim?
Yes.
Yep, yeah, I'll wait till that.
Oh, well, that's the plan. It's supposed to be a supplementary
item. I did have an issue, not an issue, but someone raised an issue with the community driveways. Did I send you a document about that?
Yes.
Can we have, some people have, about 5 people sharing the same driveway as a solid, I don't know, the way the place is subdivided, I suppose, and the driveway falls into disrepair, and one person wants to fix it up and the rest of them don't want to spend any money. I don't know, so I turn to the council.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where they are all reciprocal right-of-ways. That type of development should just never be permitted. So the answer is council has no control, influence, authority. If they can get themselves together as a group and agree to fund a maintenance, some work, that's something that council could do, but they're probably better off using a private contractor anyway. We did have a similar situation up off Mountford Drive at one stage, off Main Road. That was a little bit different because council was one of the parties involved. We had some public open space in that area and we did try and facilitate, negotiate an agreement whereby each of those that had a reciprocal right of way contributed to the construction of that road and then it became a council maintained road. That's possibly without looking at that specific. Now, that may be an option for them, similar to us taking over the Crown Reserve, right? But as you'd be aware, that we're talking all of these are private property and reciprocal right-of-ways. There's a whole process to go through to actually convert that into road on the titles. Someone's got to pay for that, and then someone's got to pay for the initial upgrade prior to becoming a council-maintained road.
Just wants to get agreement with everybody, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, certainly, if it's 200 metres of road, pick a figure, it probably needs $20,000 of basic maintenance work. If there's 5 beneficiaries, are they prepared to put up $4,000 each?
Mm-hmm.
But it's something we don't have any direct involvement or influence.
Also, so Mr. Mayor, you buy that land with the knowledge that it was a right-of-way arrangement. So you'd be aware of the commitments to maintain that access way. Access lots are different from rights of way insofar as you actually, a portion of that access lot, but certainly rights of way are problematic for that very reason.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
We'll get a formal response back to your text.
Hold on.
Later.
Okay, thanks. Well, if there's no further questions without notice, the chair, we will move on to declarations of pecuniary interest. Councillors are requested to advise other pecuniary interests that they may have in respect to any matter on the agenda. Is there any such advice to be given?
No, this is one for me. I'm not sure whether I need to step out or not, so it's just a receipt of information, I think.
No, you don't need to.
No? You know what he's talking about?
I assume it'd be the tabling of the determination.
Yeah.
Very good. It seems Councillor Miller, that it's not required if you are talking about a code of conduct issue.
Yeah.
Any supplementary items to the agenda? Yes, we do have a supplementary item to the agenda.
Improving. So I did circulate, while I was having an email, just to have a quick discussion around the discussion paper relating to improving adult welfare outcomes in Tasmania. It's a discussion paper that's been issued by the Department of Natural Resources and Environment. It's just the time frame for submissions is prior to Christmas, so...
A response to the discussion paper on dog welfare is a supplementary item?
Yep.
Okay. Any other supplementary items?
No. I've got one, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
And it's the application of the seal on a vesting order. That's just come in.
Very good.
Thank you.
So with those two items, do I have a mover that they can...
Yeah, I can move it.
And we might lose Councillor Campbell's question on that, or question without notice. As well.
What? Oh,
okay. As an in committee.
Okay, issue on chemicals.
The chemical one I'd like in closed session.
Yeah.
Very good. You did move that, didn't you, Councillor Campbell? Is there a second?
No,
Councillor Fish moved it.
Oh, Councillor Fish moved it?
I'll second it.
Thanks, Deputy. So those three items are now on the supplementary agenda. Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you. Now, public question time is scheduled for 2:30, which is the time. Open to public question time. Are there members of the public who wish to ask any questions?
No, I'm sure I've got one about the football club, that's all I'm here for. I'm there to get there.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, right. My road, when they grade my road, I just wondered if I paid my rates 1/4. Sure, would you be back in touch with me?
Yep, which road are we talking?
Would you be back in touch with me if I paid my rates short?
Oh, certainly we do pursue our unpaid rates, yes.
Right. Our road gets 3/4 graded and the rest doesn't get touched.
So which road?
Ponsonby Vale Road.
Ponsonby
Park, whichever one you want to call it.
I don't know whether Dave's aware of that one, but we can certainly follow up. So it was only graded for a certain distance?
Yes. And if you grade any more, you'll grade up rock. There's nothing any done to it.
That would certainly have a little bit there.
Getting narrower and narrower all the way down as to where we can only just pull our square bale down. Just gradually.
I'm trying to picture where... I've heard of the road, but I'm trying to picture where it is.
It's off Whitefield Road. It's Stonehenge Road.
I'll take that on notice and I'll have a discussion with the work supervisor in regards to why, because I don't know the answer.
Oh,
no.
Try and picture it. Okay, we'll certainly take that on notice.
How long is it? How long is the road?
Well, it would be about a kilometre.
Several farms down there.
Yeah, it's about a kilometre.
Otherwise, I'll pay short.
I'm sure we can address it if it's not being maintained.
Thank you for that. Any other matters
Yes. Yes, please. Can we have an update on the boutique hotel idea? I don't even think it's a proposal, is it yet?
Certainly, we maintain communication with the preferred proponents. We have agreed in the new year to sit down and renegotiate their agreement because the time frames have expired.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that they continue to work with their architects to refine the designs. The capital cost, the total capital cost is the challenge in today's construction world. Certainly they continue to talk to the other levels of government to see whether there's any industry development funding out there. So it hasn't disappeared, but it's and it's simmering away is probably the best way to describe it.
Hmm.
Have they asked council for money, financial support to progress with?
In terms of capital contribution, no.
Okay.
It was always intended to be a commercial development.
It may be with the elections coming up that it might be a very good time for them to see whether or not there was any industry assistance available for a development like that.
That is certainly one of the drivers to get the renegotiated
time frames done.
Preferred proponent, what it was called, preferred proponent agreement.
Yep.
To make that current, so they are in a better position to lobby, demonstrating that they still have a firm commitment as the preferred proponent.
Mm-hmm.
But we do, yes, still communicate with them. Well, I do.
Mm-hmm. That's all, thank you.
That's all?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There being no further public questions, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which, we're not going to act as a planning authority, so I can skip that. Which takes us up to the Manager Infrastructure and Works report, which is compiled by Mr. Richardson, who is present with us.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, it's only been a couple of weeks since the last report was done again, so not too much has changed there. Just a bit of a list of what we have programmed, what's underway, and what we're looking forward to, I guess, over Christmas New Year period. So I just wanted to take in points on there is we will have a skeleton crew. The works crew will be working over the Christmas period, and also your availability of obviously an on-call emergency on-call roster. And I'm stressing the word emergency. We don't appreciate getting calls about chooks that are crowing too loud on a Sunday morning and things like that, but not really. Basketball's an emergency. But apart from that, I guess I'll hand it back to council. And is there any questions?
Are there any questions?
If the toilet's blocked, is it tap water or council's tap water?
A public toilet?
Yeah, public toilet.
One of our public toilets, yes, that's us.
You beg your pardon?
Initially that would be us.
Yeah. I know it happened to me some years ago. But,
We've got an initial call for that, and if it's determined that it's something to do with, you know, a tap water main connecting to that toilet, well, we would take the appropriate action.
Would you class that as an emergency?
Yeah, probably would.
I have tea for David.
Yes.
Don't be kind to him instead of having 4 or 6 or 8 or 10. It's near Christmas. I had a person that's got a luxury car make comment about the broken edges on the road from the T
Tunnock Main Road Junction, up past the waste transfer station. He wants to know when you're going to get around to doing the edges in that area.
Just a point of clarity, so you're talking about Tunnock Main Road?
Yeah. No, we're talking about Inglewood Road.
Inglewood Road.
From the Tunnock Road, coming in past the waste station.
Right.
Going east, that section in there.
Right, okay.
By the waste station to the junction.
So there's some extra...
There's broken edges on both sides.
Okay. No, I can have a look at that, not a problem.
He doesn't want to write a wheel off. And the second one is one that you can do whenever. When you're doing road work and you're cleaning out drains and what have you, and you've got the verges, is there any chance of levelling the verges off near the gateways of various farms and the like, so that it's near level, so that the owners of those properties can actually mow it?
I don't really quite understand the question, is it?
But where you've got a drive going into a property, arguing sake like Inglewood, if you level the verge out, Sam will mow it. But if it's left with the ups and downs like this on the other side, can't mow it, won't mow it. If that was levelled out, he would mow. And there are a number of other property owners in the same situation.
Well, look, I guess my answer to that is that I can certainly have a look at it, but obviously with the number of entrances that we have throughout the municipality...
That's why I'm saying you could do it over a period of time.
Yeah, if we were to address every entrance over the whole municipality, which cross over sections, if that's what we're talking about, which is vast as between the edge of the road to the property boundary, it's not actually council's responsibility to maintain. That is the property owner's responsibility. So in an urban area, the concreted section or the sealed section between the edge of the road to the property boundary is the responsibility of the property owner, and the same would apply in a rural area.
But it's only if you get out by the road, between the gutter and the gutter zone and their boundary fence, you've got out there with a bulldozer, you'll be questioned asked.
No, because they have to apply for permit to work in the road reserve.
That's why I'm asking the question the other way around.
I understand where you're coming from, Councillor Kenny, but it's a huge undertaking to commit to basically levelling out every single property throughout the municipality.
You wouldn't do it in a year, you'd do it in 10, 15, 20 years, whatever.
Period.
When you're doing work in that area, level it out. Move on to the next one.
Yeah. I have to have a look at it.
That doesn't do me.
Any other questions for Mr. Richardson? No? Very good. Well, thank you for that. I'll have a mover, please.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Second of Councillor Christie. The motion being that the infrastructure work report be received, information noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Ayes have it. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Item 15.1.1, Heritage Project Program Report, supplied by Townsend. Do I have a mover that that
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Second of the deputy.
Question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
It was actually Alan Mean 2025 or 2026.
House in residence, January 26.
25.
I think both should be 25, but I'm not sure. He may have 12 months bookings.
It's very popular.
Well, he has for 25, but we now have 2026 fully booked.
Just get some clarification on that.
He's a year ahead of himself, I think.
I will be.
It's interesting to see that we've got Lisa Maroney.
Yes.
The person from Stoner is actually going to be in the residence.
Marvellous.
We need to get her on and have a look at her work.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we'll just clarify that. I don't know whether that can be done on a short compass or not to Councillor Christie, but could someone check, the deputy GM will check that out and give you a update on that. But with that question mark hanging over us, we'll put the motion that it be received, that report. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? General report. Is there any for us? Do I have a mover that that
is not a motion?
Thank you, Superintendent. Got a second there?
Yeah.
Thanks, Councillor Blackwell. Any issues arising out of that report or comments that you wish to make? Motion, those in favour?
I'm against.
Sorry?
And I'm against.
You moved it, didn't you?
No.
You seconded.
No,
I
seconded.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought you moved the motion.
No, I didn't.
No, I seconded.
Oh, Catherine Christie did. Yeah. Oh, I made a mistake there. Thanks for that. So. And I just make a note that Councillor Campbell's not in favour of that information we received. There's no issue. I didn't. Did you want to speak to Councillor Campbell or just.
I'll raise it in closed session.
Very good. With that notation of Councillor Campbell voting against it, the motion has been put and carried. Item 1561, Animal Management Report.
Thank you, Councillor Christie. Any issues there? Can I just clarify, firstly, there's two logs that have been destroyed. There's no mention of it in the summary under euthanasia.
They were destroyed on the property.
Is that clarified there?
Yep.
Councillor? Yeah, very good. Now I move to Deputy Second Councillor Christie. I move the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Aye. 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 Callington Park, Aitlands. Proposed to establish a dog park.
So Mr Mayor, there is a report just at the time that we finalised the agenda. Sorry. We were a little bit light on. We only had a week.
Thank you.
So the report has been padded out, so the issue in the background stays the same. But if we go over to... So, detail, which you'll note in the agenda that was issued, it's in the report we finalised and tabled the meeting. So I'll quickly read this. In July 23, Council received a petition with some 405 signatories seeking a fully enclosed off-leash dog exercise area and area in Oatlands. The petition did not refer to any particular location. It was then referred by Council to the Lake Dalwyn Park Management Committee to consider and provide a recommendation or recommendations. The committee's initial discussion included the possibility of establishing a dog park at the Flax Mill Point, also known as Freed's Point, which I wasn't aware of, on the basis that parks had indicated at that time that that would be possible, although it would involve a lengthy approval process. At the same time, the committee looked at other options, the old Catholic Cemetery of Chatham, a property adjacent to Tunnock Main Road, and a portion of Callington Park, as this was identified by the proponents as the preferred location. So, In relation to the dog park being specifically situated at Callington Park, this was considered by the management committee meeting at its meeting held in March 24, and a copy of the recommendation, which was subsequently endorsed by council, is there, is shown there in italics. And it was that Callington Park be ruled out as a dog exercise area because it is too close to the playground, too close to children's facilities, should remain as public open space, and could generate significant public backlash and would be a concern to immediate neighbours. Having provided the above recommendation, it was also acknowledged that the committee would progress the Flaxmere option through the lodgement of a reserve activity assessment. So, at that time, a decision hadn't been made in relation to the Flaxmill. In September 24, Parks advised that due to cultural heritage and other concerns, it was not possible to progress with a dog park in that area. So, with that bit of background, and given the question that was posed to Council, in that would it overrule or reconsider the decision of the late Dalvin Callington Park Management Committee to refused the placement of a fully enclosed off-lead dog park at the Cunnington Park site. Primarily, the way I see it, three options available to council. This council confirms its acceptance of the recommendation provided by the late Dalvin Cunnington Park Management Committee that a section of Cunnington Park be ruled out as an option for an off-lead dog area. If that option was chosen, council could continue to assess other locations, which it's been doing, but it is proving to be extremely difficult to find a suitable location. The second option is to actually ask the management committee to reconsider its position regarding the use of Callington Park, given the knowledge that the flax mill has now been rejected. So at the time, it's reinforcing that Lake Dalvin and Cunnington Park Management Committee provided its recommendation to council, the flax mill was still an option being pursued. Just make a note there that irrespective of the management committee's position, if a decision was made to proceed with the Cunnington Park option, a formal development application would be required, and that provides an opportunity for public representation, etc. Or the third option is the council seek feedback from the broader community, suggested via the council newsletter, with the actual location within Callington Park being shown as a plan on the property, and see what feedback is received, and then council at that point can make a decision as to whether it proceeds to lodge a formal DA. So, where I think, to some extent, just as a general comment, Callington Park has been proposed as a site. I don't think anyone's actually said, you know, this is the location or the possible location that could exist. So there's three options that are put to council to consider and to determine its preferred approach.
Well, just in relation to the first option, I guess it wasn't a specific endorsement of the recommendation, but it certainly was an endorsement of the recommendation of the Callington Park Management Committee that we did at our council meeting.
Council endorsed the recommendations from the minutes of that meeting, of which that was one of the recommendations.
But at that time there was a possibility that we could have gone to Flaxmill, but we can't go to Flaxmill now. So perhaps they might reconsider in that light. I'm not sure whether or not, because there's community members on that committee, and there's council members, and there are persons who are within the Parks and I'm not too sure what's the government?
Yeah,
Municipal Parks and Wildlife. Yeah.
So Parks won't have any influence in terms of Callington Park.
Won't they?
I thought they would.
That's a Callington owned property. It's our property. Yeah, so their authority only extends to the lake and its environs.
So we don't have a vote on an issue like this.
No, I was going to say that the Parks and Wildlife on the committee, that he votes with us and or whatever. Yeah, but
he get a vote.
Yeah, on the committee he would, but he would be...
No, but no.
Certainly
he wouldn't
not.
Care less one way or the other.
Well, I think at the moment it's a she.
She.
We've gone from he to she again.
So that is one real option, is that, again, I don't know how strong the attitude or the comments were in the committee, but at the time that it ruled it out, the Flaxmoor was an option. That has now changed. So maybe it could be a two-step process. You go back to the committee, and if the committee maintains its strong position, then council may need to then reconsider.
Input, councillors?
Well, as chairman of that committee, we were very strongly in favour of not allowing Skeleton Park. There's no need for me to say anymore. It's going back to the committee. But if it's going, if it's not going back to the committee, I can have me say. Yeah. Have me say anyway. But I mean, it's not much point in me talking about it. If it's going back to the committee.
At the time you made the decision about not having it at Callington Park, did the issue of it perhaps going to a Flaxmoor, was that issue
I think we knew, we knew it was very doubtful. We might have known it wasn't a bar, but we knew it was very doubtful whether it would go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Now if we seek community input, I think you need to be honest with the community about that, because obviously the community input would need to be on a basis of, I guess, what are the alternatives? Not just, well, do you like Callington Mill or not? Because it would seem that there's going to be issues with Callington Mill. Callington Park, if we proceed with that, are there any other alternatives? I mean, is there anything else we can put to the community that might be an appropriate place to have a dog park?
I think it'd be fair to say that everyone's thinking about other options, and they're either being discounted for whatever reason. Even within council, we looked at the road reserve down past the old church. Well, that, due to other infrastructure access issues, that was discounted. I know AB's been scratching his head looking at maps, having discussions. So that's still an option. This could lay on the table for a month to enable other options to be progressed, if there were options identified.
If it's laid on the table, let us have the Lake Elton Cutting Park meeting before, so we can have our input.
So we have a meeting in February after our workshop for the Tuesday after. We're meeting at 1 or 1:30 that day.
So it's still after the January meeting?
Yes,
correct. I'm just conscious we had a question on notice from a member of the public, but I suppose there's an update in relation to where we're at. But in the meantime, if a decision was deferred, even for a month, it still allows that time to look at other options to see if there are feasible options that can be raised.
I'll move, Mr. Mayor, that we, the council, proceed to seek other options, other options for the Cullington Park, and if not at the end of January, I personally would favour the Gunthorpe community, and asking if there was an affirmative response, we could then go back to the Lake Delvin committee and say, well, we have the support of from a survey of having it there, would they consider retaining them on?
All right, well,
I'd be happy to second that.
Movers in that effect, did you get that down?
So I've actually noted as council defer a decision until the January meeting to enable further investigation and or consideration of other options.
Moved Councillor Bisley, second with Councillor Blackwell. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Councillor Bisley, I note that you are an apology for three.
3 o'clock, I've got
it. Is there any issue that you want to see on the agenda that might require your consideration?
I was just a bit surprised at the Aquatic Centre. The costs for that for the month has gone up considerably. The staff costs, and considering that we have less staff.
Well, perhaps we could just go and consider that matter. Councillors don't mind, I'll jump to item number, and what page number, Councillor?
16.2.
Item 16.2 on page
90.
Page 90. We'll just deal with that matter now before.
34,
sorry. 34 at 90. 34. No, that's the body worn camera. The one before.
I'll have a crack that Mandy might want to add further. As you mentioned salaries, so it's only a $2,000 increase.
Staff one. I'm still a bit surprised. I thought because we have made changes to the staffing that there might be less than that. But the one was the operating costs of $29,000, $30,000, as against $24,000 for the same period last year. It seems to be a big increase.
It's a reduction.
It's what, sorry?
It's closed. Why do I butt in? She's got a question.
My turn.
Sorry, yes. The month of November for this year.
Sorry?
November for the current year.
Yeah.
There's no electricity account.
Right.
And there wasn't any increase in last year.
Right. There's no way of working out what the benefit is of the solar panels. It would be difficult because it obviously goes, it's dovetailed into the main electricity supply, I suppose.
It should be interesting to know what the saving is
with solar.
We're having that discussion with TAS Networks now, Laura, for how many months?
It's been going on for a number of months.
It's coming through as a net figure. Yeah, so generally the answer would have been very easy, but at the moment we're not getting that information.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But technology is available to fit into the system where you can actually monitor it as well as and that's just what Peter does with his hardware store.
Thank you. Granddaughter's speech night. Family comes first, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, Merry Christmas to everyone, to fellow councillors.
Thanks.
Thank you
for the year. It's been very enjoyable, and to the staff. Done a great job. Well done. Thank you.
All the best to you. Are there any other matters arising out of 16.2.1, which is the opening of the
point? Just ask one question, Mandy. Is the $50,000 a month deficit, is that the average run rate that we're looking at running at now?
No, it has varied a bit month to month. I think Let's look at the year to date. These are probably, what are we, 5 months. So that's a little bit under 50.
So we're going to be running at a bigger deficit than the budget by the looks of it, is that fair to say?
At the moment, if it stays at online, yes. Yep. We're probably just marginally over. We're at 48%, and we're not halfway through the year. So.
It's probably worthy to note that there are some annual costs that are paid in that first 5 months.
Yes.
Such as insurance and that too.
Yes, I'm comfortable.
Because this budget isn't cash flowed, so it's not varied to allow for month-to-month variances.
Yep.
It's just exactly what we pay. Mm-hmm. So there are changes with the timing of payments.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a move with the information who serves the
can? I'll move. Second.
Move Councillor Blackwell, second for deputy. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. We'll revert back now to
15.
So just the issue in relation to the dog park. It's resolved. And you had a move for a second to make that motion, which was all done.
Yep.
Good. So the next item is the Bagpet Community Club. Yep. Item 16.1.
This is purely an update, Mr. Mayor. This is an update following the conduct of the community meeting on the 24th of November. You might recall that that was only 3 days prior to the last council meeting, so we didn't have a formal update. So it was to really record the outcomes of that community meeting and just to highlight where to from here. So you'll see that there's a number of points there, A to G, noting that steps A and B have now been completed. Suggest there that now that the management committee in conjunction with council has gone back to the community, that they can now have a management committee decision to wind up the association. So I have asked Bex Curtis to draft that winding up resolution that the management committee can consider, and then we'll proceed to work through C, D, E, F and G.
Very good. And just from a purely political point of view, and you know, the possibility of attracting some kind of government funding in relation to the works there, it's apparent that Rebecca White's going to be the candidate, and we've been focusing on
Liberal candidate.
We're both Liberal and Labor, but the Labor candidate's changed, so it might be worthwhile just making sure that we've got information across to Beck White so that she understands the importance of this issue for our community.
Certainly.
Yeah. Apparently she was in town this morning because she was meeting with some of the CAC committee members to get a photo.
So the idea would be is to get some feedback on this growing regions application.
Yep.
Because if that happens to be successful, then the whole game changes in terms of our election wish list.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we need to, as you say, have awareness that we want this bucket of money. Before they wrap up their election pledges.
Should we ask her to come and talk to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well that'd be fine if we could. I don't know, are we going to a workshop in January? What's happening?
It wasn't planned, I think, due to leave and whatever
it was. Yeah, I think we did say no workshops, didn't we? Mm. Look, it's only a question of appraising her of the importance of the project and the funding that we require. I don't know whether or not we can do that via a letter or whatever, might be that's possible.
We'll catch up and provide a brief.
Yeah.
Hand over a wad of papers and design specs.
Because it is trouble ready in a lot of ways, isn't it? It's still the place where you were up today.
Mr. Mayor, if you're going to write Rebecca a letter, send an identical letter to Susie.
She knows all about it.
Yeah.
And that's good. She's been very active about it.
Well, please.
But we can't guarantee that Susie's
No, I just... I just want to get equal information.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Well, I don't think that requires any amendment to the motion, does it? We're happy to move it. Thank you,
Commissioner.
Thank you, Deputy, and a seconder.
I like a seconder.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. So, we're going to progress those steps to obtain a ownership accordingly, and we'll just make a note that you do have to appraise all the candidates about the importance of the project. Those in favour? Just make a note of that. Very good. And that is the public scene that's been done, thank you. Let's take up 16.2.2, the issue in relation to the recreation ground at Wallaby Park.
I would like to defer the motion. And the reason being, due to inconsistency and lack of information, be referred to a workshop, then a decision made at the next council meeting after the workshop, with a Woodsdale rep being invited to the workshop.
Okay, so the issue, do you wish to explain or speak to the issue, Jim, firstly?
It's primarily an update.
Yep.
In that the purpose of the report was to formally advise council. So in the background section is the offer that was put to the Woodsdale Football Club, or the newly created entity. And by way of email, so there were two time frames within that offer, and the first time frame was the 30th of November, so we did receive an email which was signed by Jeff Young and Tony Cow, confirming that the Woodsdale Recreation and Community Hub Committee are willing to take up the offer. So I did acknowledge that email and then asked if they could just confirm the names of the other committee members. But at this point I haven't received a response. So just to get an understanding, it's a very simple search to the search or confirm that the Woodsdale Recreation and Community Hub Committee have been registered, and a search of the Incorporated Association system confirmed that it was listed there, however an incorporation number hadn't been given to it at that time, which, as I said in the report, suggested it's still being assessed. More so the fact that once it becomes an incorporated body, it then flows through to ASIC, to the Organisation of Business Names Register. It certainly doesn't appear on that register. But as part of that search, it does provide you with a copy of the Constitution. So I took that opportunity just to have a look at the Constitution. And the one thing in particular that I noted was the dissolution clause. So if you refer to on page 39, on the top of page 39, the second dot point, council had a requirement that should the organisation be wound up, then council would seek to have the net sale proceeds returned to council for distribution within the local community. So it would still be distributed within that local community. But an extract from there, the associations, the Woodsdale Recreation Community Hub, very similar, but having said that, it wasn't specific in that the funds were not going to be returned to council. So I just highlighted that as part of the recommendation, that in order to be complied with council's offer, the dissolution clause should be amended to reflect that. Go back a step. So we've got an organisation that's accepted the offer, which then triggers the second time frame, which is the end of April 25. So within that next 4 months period, the association has to complete all its plans, lodge them for development approval, confirm all the conditions of approval, price them, and then provide evidence to council that they're all compliant and there's sufficient funds there to develop a property based on its requirements, and as a minimum they must meet the code. So that's the point that we're at, it's that second time frame that's now been triggered. So the association has got to the end of April to provide that other, go through the DA process and provide evidence to council that it's got the resources to do it. However, my last comment there is, and I actually didn't circulate, and I think this is where Councillor Campbell has mentioned the lack of information. So I have circulated, it'll only take me two, a copy of the constitution that was taken from the association's incorporation register.
Spelling mistakes.
So, obviously, but a couple of the concerns, and I just don't have a copy, is the front page refers to the Woodsdale Recreation Community Centre as opposed to the hub. The second page refers to the hub. There's a definition of council which I'm not sure, so I do make the point that it appears that the constitution has been based on one of our council committees' terms of reference, where the whole management arrangements and how they work is completely different. So, you know, to the extent that the association's constitution indicates that they need to submit a report to Council's Facilities and Recreation Committee by the 30th of April to be considered for budget purposes. Now, it's no longer a council-owned property and that's certainly not a requirement. So I make a couple of specific suggestions there in terms of, and we can only recommend to the committee that it review its constitution. We have no control over it. But if you have a read at that constitution and think through how it would work, given that it is based on a council management committee, I just cannot see how it would work because there is no membership base. So if an association exists, you have members, and out of those members, they have an annual general meeting and appoint their executive and the likes. If a member plays up, there's, you know, dispelling them and all of that. But the constitution doesn't contain any of that. And is that we recommend to the committee that it reconsider the suitability of the corporate of its constitution. We can only recommend.
there is a constitution on CBOS, which is model rules. Yeah. If you have a constitution which doesn't fit for purpose, they will revert back to those model rules anyway. It's on their website. All you have to do is fill in your DAPs, basically your name, penalties, that sort of thing, that membership costs, that sort of thing. It's quite comprehensive and it's on CBOS, which is very, very easy to get hold of. So
the other thing is, this doesn't handle the limited liability members.
That's
so
right.
It means all members are really exposed.
Well, there's not members. Not a membership. So, as I said, it's an information update. They've taken sufficient steps to at least trigger the second time frame. But all I've done is recommend that they should, and this can happen within the next 4 months, that they revisit its constitution and address what I see are some impracticalities. But, happy to, that was my perspective, Councillor Campbell.
Did you, just to, I think you've addressed some spelling mistakes there or issues there, but did you want to be more direct about that? I did notice duties of the office bearers,
office they've also around the financial reports, they're meant to be produced quarterly, but there's only 3 dates on there. You know, I haven't got any details, but there's just a few things that...
And the last, the annual report of the committee comprising a report of on the achievements of the previous year as well as the aims and objectives of the committee in the year ahead. I guess that's ahead.
It's not a negative. I'm suggesting that what they've drafted could be improved from
constitution, it just looks a bit sloppy.
But emphasising that the second time frame's been triggered, so there's now about 4 months, end of April, to meet that second time frame.
And that's part of the reason why I'm saying we should have a council workshop so that you can bring them up to speed what council wants and they can bring council up to where they're at.
I think the council's been very communicative about what we want, so I don't know that there's any point in...
But there have been there's been changes since then.
I'm not supporting of it, so...
We know that.
I think the issues that the Campbell are ones not for council. This is the thing, you know, our council have made an offer to this group in the first instance and then they changed willing to have the offer taken up by a different group, and then that different group at this stage has not got itself, it seems, properly incorporated and haven't got a proper constitution that's workable at the moment. So it's really, it's not really a council situation, or you know, it's the other side. We can't really run both sides of the equation. You know, that's the issue. I think we've resolved to sell it and not to be part of having this property anymore. But we realise that it would be a great thing if the whole ground could be brought up to scratch and used, you know, in the way these people dream of it being used. But they've got to do the work if they want it that way.
But how do you do the work when you don't have the expertise on how to do it?
That's where you go to the website for CBOS. There is another one which is ACNC, which is the Australian
Charities
Not-for-Profit Something Rather Corporation. They give you everything. So if you go between those two, anyone that's in not-for-profit should know about those.
So what you're saying, could that be relayed to the general manager and then relayed back to the club?
Well, I'd send them some model rules.
Yeah, the model rules are just, all they have to do is search model rules CBOS. It's on website. It's as simple as that. The same with ACNC. They provide you with fact sheets. They provide you with everything that you would need. and any not-for-profit should be on those sites to run properly.
I know that the people behind it have a very strong motive for wanting to succeed, but I also know that they're out of their depth.
They need to pay someone with the expertise to do it for them. Then. Go and pay a lawyer to draft a constitution. Go and pay a surveyor to do the work. You know, it's not the council to put that bill or to handhold them because it conflicts us in the process.
That's why they're better off to just go straight to these two resources, because they're independent resources. They're legally fine, so then you're not, if you go to those model rules, when you have a constitution based on those, it's quite high standing. We've just reverted to those for a community I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the ACNC, I refer to that a lot. So they'll give you all the information you need. Absolutely everything, and templates and everything like that. So that
prompts you for the questions about limited liability, the value of membership requires.
So I think
there are four, I think, additional items that you've got to put in. The value of the membership, the financial year, where the office is, and one other thing. So it's very
Your limit of liability.
Yeah, what the value of that is.
And also, I haven't read this in detail, but your auditor, that sort of thing, naming your auditor at AGMs and things like that. So it just gives you everything that you need. Even down to templates for minutes and agendas.
But in providing this update back to the committee, I can include the website details and how to find them. Mm.
All right, so with a little bit of an amendment to that motion that the council recommend to WR and CH Inc, if that is an Inc, committee, that it review the entire constitution to A, B and further, that it refer to the website CBIS and the other one that you
mentioned?
ACNC. For further guidance.
Mr. Mayor, if we just go back, so we do actually have Council Campbell's moved a motion, so we just need to see whether anyone's wanting to second that.
I think that would, this is a motion that is before us at the moment. He can move an amendment to that if he wishes. I just want to give a little bit of second for the motion that's before us on the agenda, and then if persons want to move an amendment to it, do I have a move for the motion that's before us at the moment?
So this is this motion?
Yes, the motion is on.
I'll move that one.
With the addition that the websites that we referred to there would be part of that tree. Yes, thank you, Councillor Blackwell. A seconder?
Yeah, I think it sounds reasonable. I second.
Thank you, Councillor Fish. Now, put that motion. Yes, there's any amendments or anything of that nature that people wish to move at this point? No? Very good. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. All right. Item 17, operational matters. Which is the Manager Community Report, Ms. Young.
Hi, just in terms of, in relation to a draft policy on body-worn cameras. So it just provides some framework on how council staff operate in this space. And this is the first reading on the draft policy.
Do we currently use these cameras?
No. We do have one, but we haven't used it as yet, so we needed a policy before that we could use it, provided in the framework.
Is one enough?
Yes.
I'm happy to move that.
Thank you, Councillor Thacker. Seconder?
I'll second.
Thank you, Deputy.
I have a comment.
Yes, Councillor Campbell.
We are looking after personnel. When are we going to start looking after the countryside with CCTV cameras?
Yes, that's probably something. Chance on the scope of this issue.
And we do have a closed circuit TV policy.
And we'll just take that as a comment rather than a question, Councillor Campbell. I'll put the motion unless there's any other discussion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. And then the private works policy. Did you wish to speak to that? GM?
So similar to the previous, this is tabling a policy and resubmitted for formal adoption at the next meeting. Background, this has been referred through the audit tariff process. Fairly self-explanatory, hopefully, but the Tasmanian Audit Office did a statewide audit of private works undertaken by the councils. Number of shortfalls. One of which, from our perspective, was the lack of a formal documented private works policy. So this is the first step in the process of addressing the recommendations contained within that performance audit. And hopefully it's fairly straightforward. I'll just flag that the next step in the process is to look at this competitive neutrality issue under national competition policy. That's a little bit more...
What is private works? Is that just simply me wanting the driveway done and I'll ask council to do it rather than park private contractor?
Yes.
Yeah. And if the position is from council, no, you have to first get a quote from our preference is that a private contractor do it, not us.
That's right.
That's what we say.
Yes.
And if they say, blue, and don't want a private contractor to do it, do we then say, okay, we'll do it, or what?
Only if it fits in with our works program. So, outside of what we used to do in the building area, our private works are extremely limited anyway. But it's along the lines of, if we're grading a particular road and someone's got a private driveway, it might be an hour's job.
Yep.
It's a matter of the purpose of the policy. Well, the first question is, who else is going to go and take a grader out and do an hour's work on a particular road? We generally don't go out of our way to undertake private works, only if we're operating within that area. Putting some consistency around how it's priced. So since we transitioned Heritage Built, as an example, back in, we were working on specific hourly rates that included travel and all the rest of it. It's now done on a strict cost recovery basis plus administration plus GST.
Okay.
But our number one aim is to encourage whoever wants whatever done is to use the private sector in the first instance.
So if you're going to do the work, what concerns me is how much involvement is the council laws going to have? Are you going to come back to council and say, well, we're going to do Mr. Batt's driveway and it's going to be a $22,000 job? There's going to be a resolution of council about that?
Nominated a figure of $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So major So major private works is defined as an estimated cost over and above $20,000. That is a project that will be brought to council for resolution. Anything below that will just be part of management processes. Pick a number. I can't think of the last time we did it, more than $20,000.
You reckon that's okay? I just wanted to limit the amount that's coming back to council.
You could. We agree. It's what is a reasonable figure. Dave, we only talked about this morning. Is it 20? Is it 30? Is it 40? But Mandy, that does all our invoicing for private works, we probably have an issue with $20,000 private works once in the last 2 years, other than our building section.
It's about the opportunity to create an additional revenue stream by proactively reaching out to people that might benefit from having the grader run up their driveway while you're running the grader past their front door or something, and then say, and that way we can generate a bit of income. If we're there anyway and it's an hour's job, then, you know, if we get a couple of grand for it, then that's probably...
Yeah. That's where national competition policy does come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't a lot of private grader operators operating within the southern Midlands. There's probably post-Gary Hill. Does anyone else come to mind?
Well, it might be other services that we're doing in the area.
We don't want to seem to be, and we don't want to compete against private industry. Mm. And certainly as part of the next stage of this assessment under national competition policy, these are the sort of issues that we've got to take into account.
Mm.
So whilst we are undertaking private works, we are purely at 20%. Administration, which is effectively a loading, a profit margin loading. Once you get into national competition policy and it's deemed to be a business activity, we've then got to do a calculation around incorporating charges for building overheads and all that, taking $1 million worth of administration, apportioning that over what percentage, it just gets very, very...
Yeah, I think it's better. I definitely pump for a higher figure than 20,000. I don't know what the other councillors think.
Pick a figure. 40, 50?
Yeah, I'd go 50.
Stick to 20. If Mandy has an issue to invoice in 2 years for more than 20, well, you think it's going to happen next year and we're going to get five all of a sudden? Probably not.
Because we do, Mandy has identified just a couple of other minor amendments that will come back as part of the second reading.
The other thing is, if it does come before council, is that going to be in closed session? Because we've got dealing with a member of the community?
No,
or does that member of the community have their name?
It'd have to be transparent.
Well, it wouldn't be transparent if there was if it did come before the council. Mm.
No, I'm saying that it would have to be transparent. It would come through as an open report.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was probably better if it could be done at officer level up to a certain amount, but other than 20,000, that's all.
How about we go 40 then?
Yeah, it's
40
well, the deputy's against me, I think.
No, I'm not
against
you. We go 40, go 40.
We'll settle on 40.
It's your road that you're grading.
Yeah. Right. Dave, I might even do it now. Fortunately, we've got enough machinery to do it. We're not that... Yeah, we might be more in conflict with getting work done. I don't want to be a grader, but no, I don't.
When you get to 40,000, whoever you're working for, can I look around and see who's cheapest?
Yeah.
It's not like 2,000 or 3,000 of a driveway.
No.
That's a bit different.
Yeah. All right, well, there's a few issues there.
Have a read, yeah, feedback, and we'll read it for formal adoption next meeting.
Okay. Do I have a mover? Is that...
I'll move.
Thank you, councillor. Seconded.
I'll second.
Thanks, Deputy. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. Very good. Next item, what is it? Tabling of documents. Council notes of conduct examination in respect to a complaint by Clover Wilson against councillor Fraser Miller. Do I have a mover for that?
I'll move it.
Thanks, councillor Fish. Seconded?
No. Campbell, not Fish.
Sorry, Campbell, wasn't it? Yes. Thanks, councillor Campbell. And seconded the deputy. Thank you. Any discussion?
Can we just have it in the recommendation that it notes that it was dismissed? So they don't have to go on the actual determination is quite poorly worded. But so that it can just be summarised there.
Is there some, yes, I've got no issue with that, but I just wonder whether or not that's controlled by 28ZK2 of the Act. Does the Act say you just, you're not allowed to put it the result?
I'd actually suggest, yeah, that the Act's fairly limiting and that it just says table the document.
Not to interpret what it says or in any way.
No, it's purely noted.
Well, we just have to follow the local government Act, I think. Because, well, it says, I haven't, I must confess, not read 28ZK2. Have you read that, councillor?
Yeah,
I... Did you say that?
It's just quite... You know, it's a bit of a word suit for the uninitiated, so I think if you can put a line in there somewhere that said it was dismissed, which is just lifted straight out of the attachment, if we can, then that would be a lot less ambiguous.
Let me have a look at the Act, but yeah,
I appreciate what you're saying, councillor. No issue with it, but we just have to comply with the legislation.
Yep.
We're far from experienced in this space, but...
this is the first time.
Yeah, just under this current framework, yeah, it says, table it.
Sorry about that. Well, I'm in your hands, GM. I can't... recommend anything other than the Act be complied with, but if it can be complied with in such a way to accommodate Fraser Miller's, Councillor Fraser Miller's...
I will ask the question.
We will do it. Yep. Very good. We'll just check that.
Yep.
Put the motion, those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it.
I'm just noting that I'm not voting in that, so I just feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, okay. We'll just put a black there. That's a little kidding vote. Look at member statements. What's wrong with you? I should make a little bit of a statement because we had a meeting of the Australia Day committee. Was it yesterday, Jim? Yesterday?
Yes.
Day goes fast.
No, but the winner's been notified.
You've already won once, so you can't win again. You can't win again. No, we're not allowed to say he was nominated, we had resolved to have Australia Day at, if this is all going to happen, at Swimming Pool. Can we announce that? Is that allowed to be said?
Certainly the event will be held at the swimming pool.
There you go.
I'm just not sure that notification's gone out.
No, that's why I was asking.
I'm not going to say anything.
If they check their mails where they might have.
I'm not going to say if that is one.
But the event is definite, yes.
So, yeah, okay. Well, I'm pleased to announce that the Saturday celebration, where we'll have a community barbecue at the swimming pool, new barbecue centre.
On the 26th.
On the 26th, you're on Australia,
don't you? And you said the mayor is doing that for the pool?
He's got his budgies ready.
No, I won't.
He's treading water about.
The barbecue is going to be paid for by the by a bit of a grant from the Commonwealth Australia Day Committee, which is good, and the committee for the market is going to organise the barbecue materials and the meat and all that, which is good. So there'll be a small, well, there won't be much financial implication to the council at all, except we will have the pool parties for that time. So we'll make a nice day. It'll be really good. The committee did have some discussions about whether or not it should be the 26th, but the view was that the Australian government has decided that's the day, and it's a bit beyond the purview of the Southern Midlands Council to decide that the day should be some other day. So we're going to stick with the 26th until the Australian government sees something else. And I don't think there's much else. We did decide the winners of the various categories. And I don't know whether I should announce. I shouldn't announce them.
So did we get a winner for each category?
Yes, we did. We had a very select field in relation to the junior. Because I think the person who was nominated would have beaten far out. So it was a fairly easy job.
Probably why I didn't want to do an election.
But I can say that the deputy wasn't going to rule him for a third time. Okay, that's only my statement. Anybody else have a look at member statement? No? Very good, thank you. Financial officer's report.
I might make a statement before you move on.
Oh, yes.
In relation to the Parramatta Jubilee Hall, they called an AGM for Saturday and they believed that it was not legal, so therefore they've deferred it to February.
What day in February?
And then they'll have their AGM for the Parramatta Jubilee Hall.
Did you know what day in February?
Not exactly.
Okay. Well, the Parramatta residents and wider community who are interested in that could contact Councillor Campbell to find out the day in due course. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Monthly financial statements, item 7.3.1. Do I have a mover? Does that information in that be heard?
Oh, well, yes.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
And a precious smile.
Thank you, the deputy. Thank you. Questions for Ms. Bergen? We're halfway through the year. How are we travelling there, Ms. Bergen? Up around the 48th and service, afterwards. Anything showing signs of cracking at the
staves?
You're already in for the 26th, I think.
Okay. Well, I think we probably don't require a supplementary budget at this stage. That's probably fair to say, isn't it? No, we can stick to what we did. Any comments stuff in there, if there are any comments. Okay, I'll move the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. The financial reports received. Information daily. And then go to... our request for road commission. Ada District Historical Society. And recommendation is, this is by an absolute majority, grant a remission to the Ada District Historical Society, and that rates relates to the rates 24.5 financial year. Do I have a mover in relation to that?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Well, that's good. Councillors recommend, obviously, recognise the work and input for the community of the Historical Society. I put the motion. Those in favour?
Mm-hmm.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thanks, councillors. And the next matter is a formal amendment to the budget in the operating and capital area. There it is. Now, council resolved by absolute majority to formally amend the 24-25 budget operating and capital in accordance with section 82. Do I have a mover in relation to that? Councillor Blackwell. Well, and do you want to go through the significance of this in the operating and capital area?
It's a little bit hard to present, but so it's based on, if you look at page 80 and 81, that has our budget statement of profit and loss, and then the second page 81 is the statement of cash flow. So it's to pick up the amendments. So our FADS grant, when we received, budget was adopted in June, when the Feds confirmed our financial assistance grant, which is untied, we got an additional $135,500 over and above what we budgeted. Okay, so that was recurrent income, capital income. We didn't know what the Feds were doing. We'd heard that they were going to double our roads to recovery money over 5 years. Subsequent to the adoption, we will receive an additional $154,375 in 24-25. Couple of election commitments that have now been confirmed that we didn't include in our original budget was the Kempton Rec Ground, the upgrade there of the cricket nets, so that's capital budget. The $80,000 for the Chauncey Vale Sanctuary, that was the state government budget. And we've also, when we get to the capital adjustments, is included external repainting of the Campania Hall. So Wendy's been talking to the management committee down there for the Campania Hall, and they will contribute $15,000 out of their committee funds towards that project. So that is also recognised as capital income. The sale of land down at 27 Church Street, we can now put in there a net gain of $145,000. Given that we sold it for $300,000 and it's sitting on our books for $155,000, so the net gain on that will be $145,000. Down to recurrent expenditure, council will remember in June post budget adoption, for the enterprise agreement, allocated an additional $35,000 in employee costs, so that comes out. So that's the amendments to the profit and loss statement. We then get over to the budgeted cash flow. So at the time of adopting the budget, we obviously didn't have a confirmed opening cash balance as at 1 July, so we can now confirm that as being $14.552 million. So then as you, those things work through, so cash flows from operating activities, the extra employee costs, the income from FAGS grant, and from a cash flow perspective, we actually received $3.867 million, which was for 24-25, but we received it in June 24. So purely from a cash flow, that has to come back out. You might recall Works Manager's report a number of years ago. We made some adjustments to the capital works program, so we added an additional $81,000 to Woodsdale Road, $160,000 to Pelham, deleted Sugarloaf Road, Kempton, from road from the reconstruction seal on the basis that those works would just be within the reseal. Saved the Station Street, Colebrook, $20,000. Saved revised estimate on your planes. And we are, with this LRCI money, there is a June time frame for all the money to be expended. So any projects that were in doubt that were shown that it's funded by LRCI, we've reallocated. So, Tunnock Road in particular, we've tried to pick projects that would automatically be, well, not automatically, but the aim would be to fund them next year. So really we just bring them forward. So the top end of Eldon Road, the Tunnock end, which didn't form part of that initial reconstruction and seal, putting 100 into that top end of Eldon Road. And that's offset by the campaign direct ground. So it was the 100 LRCI Phase 4, which has had to be redirected to Eldon Road because that certainly won't happen or be completed prior to the end of June. Bringing in to offset the additional capital income, we've got the $80,000 for the cricket nets and the half-court basketball court, which was the state government election commitment. Kempton Rec Ground needed a top-up of $20,000 when we got a firm quotation. We need to up that by $20,000, which has been funded from the reallocation of the dog park money. So it's probably obvious that the dog park is not going to happen before June, so we've had to reallocate to ensure that. The property purchase in Main Street, Kempton, the Campaigner Community Hall, so had two quotes to do the external painting, and that is a priority project. Apparently it is in fairly bad nick, so it's $37,000, of which the Halls Committee is contributing $15,000. And the other $15,000 is reallocated from the dog park, plus the other $7,000 by council. Levendale Community Centre, we actually didn't put a budget in for the purchase of that property, so picked up on that as well. The Oakland's dog park, the project will be retained, but if it proceeds it will need to be funded directly by council. You've probably seen that we had to do the external painting, doors and window frame down on this building, which was just an oversight and not budgeting for it. Church Street Oaklands, so this is the cash flow. So in our budget we allocated $90,000 cash flow from the sale of Church Street. We'll actually get $300,000, so it picks up an additional $210,000. And then again from the cash flows from the investing activities, it's picking up those three capital grants that I mentioned in the operating statement. A couple of comments in. So we are spending money on Oaklands and Bagdad for their Growing Regions program applications, purely because if those applications were successful, they must be shovel ready. So we can't sit back and not prepare all the detailed design specs. So that will be expenditure that will be incurred, but it will be carried forward as works in progress until such time as funding is secured or a budget is allocated by council. So have included the amended cash flows and the statement of profit and loss, just noting that our result from continuing operations, where we initially had a budgeted deficit of $482,000, that's now reduced to $381,000, and our highlight was that $381,000 in deficit, the good old roads to recovery money comes in below the line and offsets that. And overall, there'll be a net decrease in cash for 24-25, $4.174 million, mainly because $3.867 was received in advance. That's it. Quick overview. We'll get back down a little bit longer than planned, though. Clear as mud?
No, it's good. Changes have to be done by June, or is it?
Yes. So if the application will be submitted through LDAP for the 1.1, 400 of that was the grant.
Yeah.
600 was 700 was council. Of which 600 was our internal, plus 100 LRCI. Whilst we may get confirmation that the funding's been allocated or approved, the project's got to be completed by the end of June. It's not, because we can easily spend $100 prior to the end of June,
yeah.
But under LRCI, the project has to be completed. So hence why we've got to reallocate that. So picking a project such as Eldon Road, which would, in the normal course of budgetary processes, be funded next year, that money that would be set aside for Eldon Road next year will come back and offset the campaign and project. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I've got a mover and a seconder that they resolve to formally amend the 24-25 budget, operating the capital section. Any further discussion? Put the motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. Thank you. Then, you did make that clear. Okay, 1734.
Adam's, he couldn't join us this afternoon, but there's just a couple of the highlighted changes in updated pricing, but he's got some comments there as to the recommended changes reflect the following comments, and I think the main one really is where if someone's previously taken up a 6-month pool membership, every 6 months we had to write to them to get them to renew it. We're now issuing a recurring option, so we don't give them the chance of saying no. And then there's just some minor...
Just send them a bill for the next 6 months.
Well, they have direct debits, so they don't. Yeah, hopefully they'll just continue.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And there's just some minor price increasing around the learn to swim and your adult. And he's tied it up with, because we don't do gym anymore, you can combine a lot of the packages and it's a lot more
attractive,
user friendly.
Alright, well, I'll leave it that they said on Facebook updated.
Just make a comment, you know, a 50 cent price rise across all of the fees doesn't seem like very much given the fact that it's been running at an increase in loss. What research have we done around pricing per age group against, say, the Hobart Pool, for example, to get a feel as to what they are, because $5 these days is, you know, I don't think many people stop to pick it off the street. So saying that we can't charge, you know, double those prices potentially, or at least 50% increase across the board, wouldn't seem unreasonable given the relative, you know, purchasing power of $5 these days versus it being $7.50. As a minimum, as just as an example, but just putting one price up 50 cents doesn't, you know, doesn't seem to be reflective of the cost of this thing.
Yeah. Initially there was some comparisons done between, you know, some of the major facilities.
Mm.
I suppose you've got to compare like with like.
Mm.
And there's actually not a facility similar to Oakland's, but they were sort of, you know, reflective of the market at that time, but we're also conscious of the ability to pay and encourage usage across the entire population rather than making it prohibitive to some families.
Well, we have got a lot of families using the pool and we don't want to stop them from using it, no.
What we could do is do this as a two-step process. We could say amend the schedule and get it in place, and then as a follow-up exercise as part of the, God forbid, we're back around the budget time again, once a year, is to actually look at the pricing based on what the other facilities.
Because I would have thought $10 doesn't feel like a lot of money to me as the base price. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to go up to $20, but, you know, certainly saying that the only price we're going to increase is 50 cents, you may as well not change the price at all.
Yeah, I think it was to, it's a minor increase, but I think it's to also to make it work out as part of some of the passes, the overall, like the 10 visit passes and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you play with one, you play with the whole pass membership type stuff.
It probably comes down to we have to publicise it, you know, get those out of people coming in. I know yesterday there was a family from the ratepayers from the Meander Valley. They were there with their 6-month-old child swimming. Yes, it's my grandson. And that's not the first time they've used it, so we've got to get it out there even more, and we all know that it's getting lots of use from people from Hobart, the Eastern Shore, the East Coast, and yeah, I think Fraser, Councillor Miller, sorry, if we did put it up too much, there would be, I know personally a lot of families that wouldn't use it, they couldn't afford to use it. So
I guess it's the balance between having residents and maybe they can have the discount, but external to the municipality would have to pay a higher rate perhaps. I mean, it just seems, you know, this thing's on track to run at a 600 grand loss for the year. It's significant. And, you know, we have to be realistic about what the cost of these things are. So I think, you know, to my mind, saying a 50 cent price rise on one thing isn't reflective, and people will be expecting things to increase in price, so I don't think there's going to be any surprise if it doesn't go. But certainly, you know, not saying go for $5 to $20, but, you know, I think we need to be, you know, a bit realistic about the economic environment we're all living in at the moment, you know, so $5 is nothing these days. You can't even buy a loaf of bread for $5.
Oh, yes, you can.
Or maybe where you go shopping.
$4.70 for your top of your range bread from Cooch.
So yeah, so I think there needs to be a proper review of the pricing.
Well, if you can do a market comparison,
yep,
as part of the budget. Introduce this change now, and we'll do it as a two-step process.
The way I see it is, if you charge too much, people get their backs up, people don't learn to swim. If you charge a reasonable price, people will come, they will learn to swim,
And if you compare some of the other pools state of the same sort of size, $1 million a year.
Oh, they're all
quite common.
Certainly
loss.
None of them come with a profit making.
Yeah, I think we've got to look at the pool as a, we always knew that it would go to run a loss if you're looking at it as a business enterprise. But you know, like our roads run a loss, all our community, our waste services run a loss.
Well, we have to look at this as a service to our community.
Yeah.
We're providing this to our community to get our young ones swimming. The guys over here have got 100 or more doing swimming lessons after school at the moment.
No, look, I think I appreciate that, you know, particularly Councillor Moore is keeping a close eye on the finances, but I think we've also got to balance that up with the community facility aspect of the pool and be prepared to...
Certainly not suggesting their price goes up, but you know, so $5, how does that compare to the Haydock Swimming Pool, for example? Is it $8? Is it $9? Yeah, so I mean, it's not to say that there isn't some room there without being unreasonable.
We'll do some market comparisons as part of the league.
And let's just let's look at the figures for the summer, see what numbers we get through over the summer.
Because we haven't had a full summer yet,
have we? Last year was the first summer.
Okay. Do I have a move?
I'll move it.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Second it. Thanks, the Deputy. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Municipal seal. Did you want to put that item in now? It might be easier if it was done now because...
So that's it. You jump in.
Yeah. Wendy's progressed a vesting order for us from a subdivision that was done quite a number of years ago, and there was a transfer of road in it at no cost. This just finally formalises that process, Mr. Mayor. So I'll look at asking councillors to sign the documents, and it's just formalising us taking that ownership.
What was the road? It was
Springfield Bottom Road. So it's, I've got a map if you want to look at where it is. It's at Springfield Bottom Road, at Springfield Bottom.
And councillors are going to be resolving to take ownership.
No, I just sign and seal the submission for the title rights. To sign and seal the submission to the titles office for the vesting order. From property that's owned by Rodney Cooper.
Brock. All right, so in relation to the use of the municipal seal on the vesting order for the transfer of a road, Springfield Bottom Road, do I have a mover in respect to that?
I'll move it.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell.
I'll second.
Seconded. Councillor Maxwell. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, I'll formalise that as a report for the minutes.
Very good.
Thank you. Just the night, everyone wants to leave it for the ayes.
Okay, we'll be well on to the finish by then. So, supplementary item to the agenda. There was another municipal seal. There was another matter there, which was a discussion paper on the dogs welfare, dog welfare.
I'll talk to that.
Yep. Was there a specific recommendation? Yeah, the council consider the options provided and determine its preferred approach. Did you have a matter you wanted to raise, or just a general discussion there with Councillor Miller?
Yes, I've been contacted by various members within the municipality about this, and the main concern is that it's been based on the Victorian amendments to their welfare, which primarily sought to reduce the number of breeding bitches within kennels and breeding programs, without necessarily the understanding of the impact that has on the actual welfare of the animals and the quality of the animals being bred. And it seems to be quite an emotive issue driven by, you know, one side of the political divide, which is your Peter and everything, you know, dogs shouldn't be pets and they should be running in the wild type thing, versus the other side, which is a bit more scientifically based in terms of understanding, you know, what the welfare of animals are and what constitutes, you know, genetically diverse populations. So quite a few people from Dogs Taz have contacted me, who's obviously the membership body for the state. I did ask that David Sales come and talk to us, as he couldn't get hold of him. I'm not sure if he's resigned or he's the outgoing chairman of Dogs Taz, but certainly he's also on the Australian Kennel Council board as well, so it would have been good if he could give some, you know, national perspectives. But the danger here is that it throws up some, you know, unintended consequences by having a broad brush stroke approach to breeding. Specifically around, as I mentioned, genetic diversity. So for those that are the uninitiated in this field, you need 30 unrelated dogs in order to create a genetically diverse population, which for more common breeds is quite achievable across multiple parties, but for rarer breeds it obviously concentrates down into a fewer number of breeders that are actually doing it, and consequently they need larger pools of animals in order to create that good genetic outcome. Some of the consequences unintended are not identifying specific breeds, and so some examples of this are in, you know, Victoria, that people breeding chihuahuas were required to put up 6-foot high fences around their yards to stop these things jumping out, and were being very, you know, strenuously pursued in order to comply to these sort of, conditions in order to qualify to be a breeder and all of that sort of stuff. So I think at the moment, you know, certainly there's some good, and I guess good intention in some of these things, but I think it needs to be a bit more, you know, nuanced in how it's going to be implemented to avoid such, you know, things like, you know, the Chihuahua incident, but also not at the same time impacting the quality of the breeding that is undertaken and the outcome with the dogs in terms of genetic diversity and whatnot. So a lot of the people, obviously Dogs Taz was invited to make a submission prior to the public consultation, which they did, as did the greyhound racing industry, which are probably the two main bodies in Tasmania here. But I think there's a lot of, as I mentioned, a lot of emotion, a lot of emotive sort of, you know, gesturing from the, you know, the public around some of this stuff, where they don't really have any understanding of, you know, why there needs to be, you know, numbers of dogs, significant numbers of dogs in some instances for breeders in order to, you know, certainly conform to good breeding practices. In terms of some of the members of Dogs Taz, and there's obviously the Master Breeders Association, and obviously the greyhounding industry also have their own code of conduct and also their own ethical code of conduct, which is adhered to by the membership. So really this is trying to target, you know, potentially the puppy farms and the puppy mills where, you know, it makes a good news story, or not a good news story, but where you see, you know, dogs living in squalor and whatnot, which obviously should be, you know, targeted and rooted out of the system. But in terms of the actual
you know, occurrences of these sort of situations, you know, they're very few and far between, so this becomes a bit of a, you know, blunt instrument in order to try and stamp out what is a very limited problem, but will ultimately impact those people more so that are trying to do the right thing and create, you know, good genetic diversity, adhere to ethical practices and the like. So what I've been asked to do is to ask that council, you know, respond in a formal capacity to some of these instances in here, which take into account such things as you know, breeding number, the number of bitches required in terms of things like that, and obviously form a view that, you know, is more based on science rather than based on the emotive issues that are raised when, you know, the more the more left elements of society that are more on the extreme ends of those sort of on those sort of views as to the role of an animal and a companion in the thing. Noting that I'm not referring to the greyhound industry here at all. Again, that's a separate issue. But this is more directly around breeders and members of sort of the dogs, the broader breeding community, which is regulated by membership bodies such as Dogs Tas and the Master Breeders Association.
It's a difficult one for councils in that you know, it's a welfare issue, but it is probably a bit beyond our expertise, generally.
I think the issue being is that it needs to, I mean, it affects quite a lot of people, and this doesn't take into account working dogs, obviously. You know, people see a cattle dog and think that, you know, it gets to sleep on someone's bed at the end of the night, and that's, you know, that's not what they're bred for. And it's not a sign of them being mistreated, the fact that they're, you know, kept outside and whatnot. They're not domesticated animals, but they're not sort of domestic pets. So I think it's really putting a more pragmatic approach to the issue rather than relying on the sort of emotive elements of this, which is, you know, looking at little poodle on the end of the bed at the end of the night versus, you know, the actual.
Would this not encourage more puppy farms, hidden puppy farms, you know, sort of the ones that are going to happen whether you legislate it or not?
Well, they'll go underground even further.
That's my thought. You know, would we be encouraging that to happen? So.
And it's the outcome, as I said, you know, you've got in Victoria and New South Wales where they did take this broad brush, it's like, you know, they're limiting breeding bitches to three or so breeding bitches, and again, that then, you know, generates, you know, poor breeding practices such as inbreeding and whatnot. And then, like I said, the Chihuahua incident, you know, where these people are having to put 6-foot high fences up and to be compliant, otherwise, you know, they risk losing their animals. And it's like, well, you know, what's a Chihuahua going to do? So there needs to be a bit more nuance put into this. And, you know, some of the intent behind it is obviously good in terms of making sure that, you know, puppy farms aren't, you know, proliferating, but at the same time, you know, it's the people doing the right thing that will be like this, and the people doing the wrong thing will continue doing the wrong thing.
And probably make more out of it.
Yes. And the burden of enforcement is going to land on council to enforce a lot of this stuff. Yes. So we're not going to get any budget out of this in terms of increased, you know, compliance checks and whatnot, and there's obviously going to be a significant admin burden here by licensing breeders, but in effect they're already licensed by being membership of Dogs Tas or the Greyhound Association, or, you know, so it doesn't need that extra regulatory burden in there. But again, I think council needs to sort of take a bit more of a generalised view around, you know, is there a problem now? No, there's not really. Are there examples of, you know, puppy mills out there that, you know, where dogs are being kept in? And it's not just dogs, it's all animals, or cats or whatever, where they are being, you know, abused and whatnot. But that doesn't go away through the legislation. And so it's really about having a balanced
So how would the council monitor how many litters a bitch is having?
Well, there's no way to enforce it, because then they just, they wouldn't register the litter. So at least with dogs pass, you have to register the litter, you know, you get a pedigree certificate, you know, all of that's happening. But if you've got, you know, a farm dog in the middle of nowhere that's, you know, being bred as a puppy farm, then you've got no way to enforce it anyway.
No.
But fast forward to the people doing the right thing, they're going to suddenly be under compliance issues. They're going to, and, you know, there'll be a burden to them in terms of cost and, you know, whatever else, which again is impossible to enforce. So. Mm.
But in talking, so in the covering, I just did go back a step. So this discussion paper was brought onto the agenda primarily for the discussion with Councillor Miller, but also, you know, there's some broader resourcing issues here that local government needs to consider. In the covering report, I've indicated that Rachel participated in an online forum. ELGAT's trying to put together a submission to put forward a sector position, a local government sector position, and there was a fair bit of discussion, you know, even amongst the animal control officers, on not having agreed on any specific outcomes, because the opinions varied based on their own experiences. You know. An animal control officer was, I assume it would be Northern Midlands involved in the puppy farm, would have a different perspective to anywhere else that hasn't had issues with, you know, puppy breeding and all of that sort of stuff.
It's like that puppy farm, the animals weren't seized because they were mistreated, they were seized, they were surrendered because the people just wanted to get out, and they said, well, you sort it out. There was no issue, and they had a significant number of dogs, you know, it was a for-profit operation. But they, you know, the animals were still fed, you know, they were still watered, they were still looked after, so again, it's not as opposed to the one that was recently done with the bull terriers, I think it was, where they are living in, you know, a cage where they can't turn around and all the rest of it, you know, and that's an example of, you know, the puppy farm, where they are being mistreated, as opposed to a for-profit organisation, which was the Labradoodle sort of thing, and, you know, they were looked after, they were, you know, there were a lot of them, and it wasn't, you know. But even if we have a look at some of this in terms of total litter limit, and even though there's no legislated litter, you know, under the Dogs TAS guidelines, you know, there's a total limit of five litters that you can register. The upper age limit is 8 years old, but you need a vet certificate for anything above 6 years old. So there are already these guidelines in place, they're just not legislated. So again, that's where, you know, there's already some pretty stringent rules and regulations around registering animals for pedigree breeders, obviously. But, you know, does it need to be legislated when you're already conforming to that? Again, and who's going to decide that? You know, and are they going to adopt Dogs TAS, or are they going to listen to someone from PETA who thinks that dogs should be running in the wild? So again, it's, you know, where does that, you know, the science come into it as opposed to the emotion.
And if someone sees a working dog running around the property and thinks that it's running loose and not being fenced in, if they report that, I mean, people do drive past these places, and the welfareist will come in and have a look. But it's at a cost to the farmer or the resident.
Oh, it's a classic example. You're not going to have your sheepdog sleep on the end of your bed. It's not bred for that. So, I mean, as opposed to your little poodle, but it's sort of, you know, bred to be in the house and a companion animal. So they're two completely
different.
But under this, they're being lumped in together.
The whole idea of it does sound very, because as the mayor made a comment, apart from probably Councillor Miller, who's got any expertise in this area, and the answer is none, apart from our friends over here, of course, our animal gurus, but in terms of breeding, we're probably not on top of that either.
What do you think about the issue of microchipping dogs, though? Like, this is one aspect, because at the moment we give a dog medal, we support across the board microchipping. Is that something?
Well, this is one thing that applies across the board, is to reduce the microchipping from 6 months to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that appropriate?
Well, we microchip at 6 weeks old, as with their first vaccination, and it's a condition to register the litter with dog's tails. So there's no ifs, ands or bad about it, but when you register the dog, they're meant to be microchipped. But again, it depends on what breed of the dog it is, so I mean, it's not appropriate to microchip a chihuahua or something at 12 weeks. It needs to be 16 weeks, so they've got, you know, a bit of skin to put it into rather than sticking it into their spine.
Yeah, so these are the issues that are really beyond us. Dog expertise.
I've scribbled a few notes that Councillor Little mentioned, and we could put a submission or via LDAC highlighting that it's very much a blunt instrument for a limited problem, to use your words, and that there are, the current organisations have a range of rules and regulations that have been complied with. What's the need to go to this next level of, you know, legislation or legislative?
Well,
we could make comment from, you know, along those lines from a broad perspective without getting down to it should be limited to 5 bitches instead of 10 or, you know, 20 or... We could just talk at a higher level or correspond back at a higher level.
Because the other thing to bear in mind, at the moment the RSPCA is the organisation that's generally used to enforce this, but again they run at a significant loss, so they don't have the resources, so that is going to fall on the council to then start doing that. So there's the cost in element of this which just hasn't been factored in at all. And I think, you know, to your point about not being experts, I think you can certainly raise issues around, you know, how is this going to work in practice?
Who's paying?
And who's paying for it? Yeah.
Right.
And that can't fall onto the breeders, which is what they'll say, to a licence, because, you know, the breeders don't, you know, generally make any money either. So, I mean, who's going to... And if someone doesn't get little fluff ball for Christmas and it's a quality animal, then, you know, they run the risk of having, you know, lifelong genetic issues through trying to have a poor quality dog because there isn't enough genetic diversity in the population anymore.
And I think that's another where they're restricting the number of breeders.
Mm.
If it's a rare breed, as you say, you need a minimum number of
30 animals
or dogs to prevent
inbreeding
and all that sort of stuff. So we could put together and feed some comment back to LDAC, capturing some of that. That's
I mean, you know, if you're trying to save a breed, too, it's very difficult sometimes to
Wolfhounds are an example. You know, there were 3 litters of those bred in the country last year. So they're, you know, a breed that's going to go extinct in the next couple of years. And if you wanted to go in there and you wanted to save it, you'd need 30 wolfhounds to make sure that there was a good population move forward, for example. I mean, I wouldn't suggest 30 wolfhounds, that many people could do that. But, you know, again, if they're then, that's what's required to save the breed, for example. So,
all right. Well, look, I think basically we're at a position where we recognise that LGAT is going to try.
They may not get any sort of agreement between the sector, but we can certainly feed back in some of these higher level comments.
Yeah.
Just a quick question though. As far as disclosure, you know, there's a couple of basic questions there. Requiring a kennel licence holder to state whether they are a breeder. Is that an issue, for example?
Well, I mean, if you've got a lot of working dogs, you might not be a breeder. I mean, you just have 10, 20 dogs or something, because that's what you need to rotate them across. And I don't know, some of the bigger sheep farms probably have more than that, you know. But why does it matter whether you're a breeder or not if you've got a kennel licence?
Because am I right in thinking that if you're breeding, proper dogs, as opposed, you register with Dogs Tas, so they know who the breeders are, so you're effectively doubling up the registration.
Doubling it up anyway. So the Master Breeders Association is the other body.
Uh-huh. They don't get a mention as a key stakeholder, do they?
No, well, they're kind of a you know, an alternative to the Australian Kennel Council. They're a little less stringent in terms around crossbreeding, but they, you know, they certainly have their own code of conduct, their own code of ethics and whatnot. But it's actually quite stringent to do this stuff through dog's tails. There is quite a burden to maintain and breed registered animals. So there is you're not going to get away with, you know, breeding a crossbred and getting it registered, for example. So I mean, there is that code of conduct, code of ethics, and
it also captures the DA as well for breeding of animals.
Yeah,
could capture under DA as well. So.
And, you know, the transport of dogs is another issue, which, you know, my dog very happily sits on the back of the ute with a chain attached to the front of the ute. He quite likes it. But, you know, other people say, well, you've got to put him in a cage now, or have a purpose-built cage on the back of the ute, or if you're driving from paddock to paddock, or farm entrance to farm entrance, it's a bit of a...
There's the pragmatism around it, you know. You're even going to, if you're driving paddock, you're even chaining him up. So, I mean, that's...
Well, he wouldn't probably. He's okay there. But, well, if we go down to Mood Food to give him a, you know, a chippy strip, he's chained up.
Yeah.
Chippy strip.
But this is where you get the housewife living in you know, suburbia saying, oh, well, this is crazy, because he's not on the back, you know, you've got to do all this stuff, and they're not...
He should be in the front seat.
Yeah. Driving next.
Yeah.
But they're not the ones, you know, bearing the cost of all this compliance either, so it's easy for them to say, so...
Yeah, right, you have a cage on the back of your ute, there goes a whole lot of space on the back of your ute to do other things.
Yeah. I think we have enough out of that discussion to be able to put some reason and feedback.
Yeah.
Happy for you to send information to Elgat.
Well, the information of the dog report's been received, and we note that there will be attempts to make a draft submission to Elgat.
I think we'll go to Elgat.
And I think just copying Jane Howard in the pursuit of champion in that sense.
Very good. Okay, now closed session issues. So, pursuant to the Regulation 15, the Local Government Act, the
expletives.
The recommendation of the following matters be dealt with in closed session. That's the minutes, the application for leave of absence, and the order panel minutes. Do I have a mover for that?
I'll move, Mr. Mayor. I think we should, as soon as we've got tabling of documents, we'll just handle that.
Sorry, did I miss that? That was the key. Is there a document that you want to table?
Look, I think we should add, the recommendation we should add that the tribunal said it didn't happen.
Oh, yes. This is in relation to the code of conduct. Yeah. Now, look, we're all in favour of that.
We just want to check that it's not in breach of the Act.
The Act is fairly specific.
You just label them and basically you don't talk about it.
But the fact that it's here, why I brought it up.
Yeah, so the Act specifically says you just table it, but I will ask the question, can we include as part of tabling it that we noted was dismissed?
I put that in there.
We're all at ism about that, Caspar Fish.
Excuse me, sir.
We'll just make a note that...
Is there anything in closed session that is this early?
Okay, so do I have a move then that we do... There's also a matter of chemicals, is there?
Application for a rebate on rates.
No, we've done that.
So there's just the added one there of chemicals issue in closed session. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 matters in closed session. I have a mover for that, do I? Yep. Campbell, did you move, and second of the deputy?
Who moved, sir?
Councillor Campbell.
Have a good Christmas.
We move into closed session, and the meeting is closed to members of the public. Moving again, Councillor Campbell, seconding the deputy, thank you very much. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Very good, we're now in. At, what is it, 4:44, we close the council meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance, councillors, and we will be reconvening at 5:00, I think, for the annual general meeting. Councillors, take a break, and we'll see you back at 5:00.
What is that?
Right, when we went out, Mud will try to get that upgrade.
You're welcome, councillors. The annual
had an argument with
general meeting of the Southern Midlands Council. Oh, I've now got to open. It's 5:00. The agenda has been circulated, and the opening is from me to welcome you all. We haven't got any members of the public to welcome, and there are no, well, there are some apologies. We have Councillor Miller and Councillor Bisti apologies, and the attendance of the General Manager and Deputy General Manager and the Works Manager.
Well represented, I'm glad you
said that. Well represented with all the developments and planning, which is great. All right, in relation to the meeting procedures, they are as per attachment 1. The annual report.
That's if we ever get a rowdy one.
Well, he's quieting down there, GM. I've got a lot of powers. It's my pleasure to present to councillors the 23-24 annual report, and there's a recommendation that that be received.
I'll move. I'll second.
Move the deputy, second the councillor Blackburn. Any issues in relation to the report? Matters councillors wish to raise?
Very comprehensive.
Thanks, Deputy. Very comprehensive the report. I don't suppose we need to labour it too much. It is what it is. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
All those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Now, the strategic plan. Members of the public are encouraged to provide comments on the 24-30 strategic plan available at Council's website at any time. Do members or councillors require any discussion about the strategic plan? No?
No.
Any more discussion? There's no items for discussion on matters. Any items without notice that the councillors want to discuss in relation to that strategic plan? No? Very good. Well, that being the case, at 5:04...
I'll go 5:06, it looks better.
We close the annual general meeting of the Southern Midlands Council, and look forward to Christmas, and let's hope you all have a successful and prosperous 2025.
Well, Mayor, back you.